Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. And John and I are once again talking Lady Vols on this edition of the podcast. And John, it must be a slow news cycle out there in college sports, because making headlines in our News Sentinel here recently was a blog post that departed Lady Vols player Lou Brown wrote about her experience in the program. And it was sort of a meandering journey through her time at Tennessee. But somewhere in that blog post was a couple lines about some experiences at Tennessee that Lou Brown didn't seem to enjoy. An instance where she says she was at practice and coaches laughed at her after a play. And then there was another instance she wrote in a film session in which an assistant coach, according to Lou Brown, was laughing at one of her blunders in a basketball game. What did you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, people are just so sensitive now, especially the younger generation. They just are so sensitive. I guarantee you, Pat Summitt laughed at a lot of players in practice. I mean, when you're out there practicing and things happen, you can't just always be so sensitive. Oh, my God, Lou lost her balance on that play. Heaven forbid. Oh, let's get a counselor in here right now. We've got to get a counselor in here and work through this immediately. No, when things happen, you can't help but laugh in practice. I think a lot of, and I'm really not knocking Lou that much, but I just think she was frustrated how her career ended. She had knee troubles, and I think that was the main thing. That's one of the problems with social media. You get to write 2,000 words about this. I mean, but that's what social media is all about. It's narcissistic. Oh, my God, I had to take out the trash and wash clothes today. So every little thing is magnified on social media. You know what? Here's how she should look at her career. She fought through injuries and kept playing and played a lot. And she should take some real pride in that. That's an accomplishment.
Lou Brown dealt with multiple knee injuries throughout her career. Of course, her career started at Washington State.
Right.
And then she transferred to Tennessee when Holly Warlick was here. And as is often the case when there's a coaching change and you wind up playing for a coach you didn't necessarily sign up to play, that can be, you know, can bring a set of challenges, and sure, a lot of athletes go through that. But Lou Brown started 30 games last season, despite having those multiple knee injuries, was a valuable part of the team and you know, an important upperclassman for a team that was largely youthful. And I think it's important to note that in this blog, which was written for an Australian basketball website, of course, Lou Brown is from Australia. You mentioned the social media and point taken, but this wasn't a series of tweets that Lou Brown was just firing off trying to burn down the program. It was
it was too long though.
It was a blog post, really. It was kind of a journal almost, reflecting on her career at Tennessee and her senior season. I think probably exposing Australian basketball fans to what big time college basketball is like in the United States. And this was felt to me more just about her being honest about some frustrations she had during her senior season. But to me, you know, really getting past poking fun at Lou Brown, because I don't think that's, you know, that's not really probably fair either. Like we said, she played through injury. She was a valuable piece of the team. And I don't think her point of the blog was to tear down Tennessee's program or Kelly Harper. And then also for Kelly Harper, I just don't see this as being a big deal at all either. I mean, you know, Kelly Harper released a statement to the News Sentinel and said that Lou and I have visited since the article came out. And she said Lou expressed to our staff that she enjoyed her time at Tennessee and she had no intent of disparaging the staff or the program. Harper said her reflections indicated the frustration she experienced in trying to return to full strength from her surgery. And Lou Brown, you know, she issued a statement as well. She said it was her honest experience of how she felt in the moment. She wrote it with no malice intended, but rather from the perspective of, you know, returning from injury and what those struggles were like. And so that to me is sort of how I took it, was, you know, an athlete that had some injury issues at times, everything probably didn't go the way she'd had envisioned it would. But in the end, I don't get the real sense of really any hard feelings on either side of things.
Here's the thing, though. If you're playing in a basketball program as prominent as Tennessee's, and you're writing this blog, you should be able to figure out how this might be received by other media outlets when you're saying coaches laughed at you. I mean, that's the story. That's the headline. To me, you should be introspective enough and look at that when you're editing it. So it's, and I shouldn't have said social media. I just went off on a social media rant because I felt like it.
Yeah, our next podcast, John, we're going to focus on what you think of Generation Z.
If you're editing this, this is a piece you've written for publication and you're editing it, you should be able to see that, how this could be taken. And it may not be, and no, I don't think she was trying to trash Tennessee. She could have done, it didn't come across that way to me necessarily, but I just thought she should have known how that would be received.
You know, one thing that was written in there that I thought, well, maybe that's a good sign, was the idea that, you know, she wrote that the coaching staff was really looking more toward the future. This is what Brown wrote. She said, "I was feeling this season was not a priority for our coaches. The future of the program was." I say, if that's the case, well, good on Kelly Harper, you know, because if that's the case, well, she still won 21 games this season with one eye toward the future. And I think really any first year coach, when you inherit a program, you know, not maybe not someone that ascends from associate coach or assistant coach to head coach, but when you come from a different program, you inherit someone else's players. I think it's sort of natural. You try to win over the players you keep, and you try to have the most success you can in the short term. But I think you always have one eye on the long term and building your program the way you want to and for years going forward. And so that, to me, I took that as more of a good sign than anything. If Kelly Harper had one eye on the future and still went 21-10 this season, that to me is pretty good.
Sure, I would say kudos to her. Paraphrasing Philip Fulmer, the AD, it's actually kudos to her. I give her a lot of credit for that. She's, you better be preparing for the future, because you're going to have a long-standing tenure at Tennessee if you're, winning 20 or 21 games or 19. I mean, you're expected to compete for championships at some point, and it's a transitional year. So I would want my head coach, head basketball coach, thinking about that, what she can do with the program. You're in a tough transitional season. Make the best of it. But you got to be looking ahead. So, no, that was a compliment.
Yeah. So you're in agreement. If Kelly Harper had one eye toward the future this season,
yeah,
all the better.
Yeah, I mean, even maybe she'd had both eyes toward the future, I would still say. You know, Fulmer says that so much, it's got me where I want to say kudos instead of kudos.
Speaking of the future of Tennessee women's basketball, let's look, turn the page on this blog post and look to that. And Tennessee announcing early this week, or was it last week? I don't know. The days are starting to run together in my brain now. But anyway, announced recently the addition of a graduate transfer from Western Michigan, 5'8" guard Jordan Walker. Had a really nice career at Western Michigan. She's got 2 years of eligibility left. She averaged 16 points per game last season. The size, you know, 5'8", that could be a bit of a challenge at times, maybe in the SEC, but you still got to like the fact that she averaged 16 points per game at her last stop. And she's actually the second graduate transfer that Tennessee has added during this offseason. They also got a high scoring graduate transfer from Liberty University, Kian Green, who averaged almost 14 points per game last season and is a post player over 6 foot tall. So, you know, I thought Kelly Harper's first recruiting class kind of left something to be desired in some ways, but to me, the additions of these graduate transfer really help round out that first class a little bit.
I agree, Blake. I think she's been a very foresighted in her recruiting, and at the same time trying to get immediate help. We don't know how those numbers would translate when you're talking. They're not a Power Five conference. We don't know if those, you know, maybe that 16-point average would become 8 in the SEC, or the 14-point average would become a 7. But I like the way she's trying to put this team together. She's addressing needs. She had two guards transfer. She's out of guard. She had the recruit, where is it, from Spain that she signed?
Right.
Okay. I mean, that's showing a wide range. I mean, it's worldwide recruiting and transfers included. So I really like that. And here's something else I really like that she's doing. She's got a 13-person team now. She's at full capacity. And a lot of coaches don't have that. So one of the, about maybe the only fault I had with Pat Summitt is she didn't always fill out her entire roster. Of course, she had the best of the best. And Gino did the same thing Pat Summitt did. He operated with a smaller roster, always has. And they kind of got away with it for the most part. And I think they both look at it. We bring in all these top players, and it's going to make some people unhappy. Now, so you worry about team chemistry. But they're in different positions. Pat was and Gino is. And I think Kelly's looking at, I need the depth. I think it makes you better in practice when you have more players. And I think she's signing players, those transfers. I'm not saying they'll be stars in the SEC, but they could be solid players. And I think they're going to make them a better team next year. So I think she's being very resourceful in her recruiting.
Yeah, I agree the importance of having 13 scholarship players. I mean, you so rarely see SEC women's basketball teams being able to use, and the NCAA allows women's basketball programs to use 15 scholarships. You almost never see women's basketball programs with 15 scholarship players. I mean, I remember it was a few years ago, Florida was navigating a season with just, I don't know, it might have been like 7 or 8 scholarship players, if, I believe, after a couple injuries. And, you know, it's so hard to fill out a roster. And so, and with the knee injuries, especially that you see in women's basketball, I think it's so important that you have depth there. So I think that's an encouraging sign. And then, you know, to your point on graduate transfers, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to see what you thought about this. If you get, you know, comparing the women's game and the men's game, sometimes it's just, it's apples to oranges. So maybe it's not even worth doing, but you know, I feel like in the men's game, when you get the top player off a mid-major team, you know that they might not be the top player then on your Power Five team, but that they're probably going to be a pretty significant contributor. In the women's game, and I think you were touching on this a little bit, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems a little bit more cloudy for the future of a graduate transfer, even if they were the top player on their mid-major team, stepping into a league like the SEC for women's basketball, which even, you know, maybe though it took a little bit of a step back last year, is still such a powerhouse conference. I mean, it's a big change going from Liberty University or Western Michigan to the rigors of the SEC.
Oh, I agree. And sometimes I think it's more of a challenge in the women's game, because to me in the women's game, the depth of talent is not comparable to what it is in the men's game. And you look at, we talked about Lou Brown earlier. I mean, she's somebody with bad knees. I don't understand why she transferred into the SEC, because it's an athletic league. It might not have the shooters that maybe the Big 12 does, or the Pac-12, but it's got a lot of athletic players, and it's quickness and jumping, and that didn't suit her well, given her handicap of injury. So there are a lot of things involved here. But Kelly Harper obviously saw something in these players. And my guess is she saw them against better programs. And I'm not talking, not just the best teams in her conference, but maybe saw them against some other more prominent programs.
Yeah, and beyond that too, Kelly Harper is someone who has a lot of experience coaching at mid-majors from her time most recently at Missouri State.
And that's a good point.
Before that at Western Carolina. So maybe she does have a pretty good eye for, you know, which mid-major players can cut it and can contribute at the SEC level. You would think that, you know, she might have a pretty good eye for that given the number of years she spent in the mid-major level, and she might be able to distinguish which players of, yeah, they're really good in this mid-major conference, but they wouldn't hold up in the SEC versus, you know, this particular player could play anywhere.
Yeah, I just, that's a really good point because I think she also, she knows how these players fit into her program and what she's trying to do. Going back to her first recruiting class and her first season, I think she really wants a different kind of team than what she fielded last year. A more balanced team, a team maybe that can do more things well, a team that can shoot better, for example, and have a balance in that with athletic players and players with ball handling and shooting skills. I think she has a really good idea of what she wants in her system. And what players can not only fit that system, but still compete in the SEC. She knows what those players will be up against. So I think she's got to be able to look at them and see and project them in the SEC. And it's challenging, but that tells me she's confident in her ability to judge that.
Do you like the Lady Vols roster better for this season or last season? And you know, last season after the season ended, they lost a couple key players to transfer, and Jasmine Massengale transferred, and so did Zay Green. Massengale to Kentucky and Green transferred to Texas A&M. So two probably would be starters on this season's team. And Massengale was a starter on last year's team, and Zay Green was early in the season until she suffered a season-ending injury. So with those departures, plus the departure of Lou Brown in mind, do you think Kelly Harper's more positioned for success in year two, or do you think she was actually working with a better roster in year one?
Well, you lose – Zay Green would have come back. She was a double-figure scorer before she tore up her knee. And athletically, she had a lot of athleticism and quickness, so she would help with that standpoint. But Tennessee already had some players like that. And I never thought of her in, when she was healthy. I didn't think of her as a very savvy basketball player. And you could say the same for some other players on Tennessee's team last season. Some of them were young, granted, but I think Kelly Harper wants a different kind of player. So I thought Massengale probably could have been better than she was. I thought she would do more. I like some of her skills, but I didn't think she was very demonstrative at the point and didn't maybe shoot as much as she should have sometimes. But no, I like this team because I like this team better. I think it will win more games, first of all, because it's no longer a program in transition. This is year two for Kelly. She's handpicked some of these players now. She knows how they fit. So I think she will be more comfortable and her staff will be more comfortable with that team. And I think the depth is really important. And I think it will be a more balanced team, a team that can do different things well. And also think we will see improvement from some of last year's freshmen like Jordan Horston. I just think they will get better in year two.
That last part in particular, I think stands out to me. You know, when I asked you whether she's better positioned for success in year one or year two, I think so much of it to me comes down to how much year two improvement do we see from, you know, players like Jordan Horston and Tamar Key, because you know, we know what Tennessee's getting in Renia Davis. They're getting one of the best players in the SEC. And, you know, the Lady Vols would have been in a world of hurt last season without her. And certainly for this upcoming season, Renia Davis has to stay healthy and has to continue being the player that she was for this team to take any step forward. But, you know, I think at this point in Renia Davis's career, she's kind of a proven commodity. Horston and Key, on the other hand, you know, I don't think they've come anywhere close to reaching their ceiling yet. Horston in particular, she's got to get those turnovers under control. But if she can, you know, I think there's still a much higher level of play for her to reach and for Key as well. And then you add in some of the new pieces. And, yeah, I think if some of those sophomores really progress, you could have a roster that's more talented than last year's. If they don't, then perhaps not.
Well, Ray Burrell wasn't a freshman, but she often played like a freshman. You talk about turnovers, she made too many. I really did like her offensive aggressiveness. If she could have just been a little more under control and know when to be aggressive and when to pull up, and she didn't seem to be able to change gears at all. She was just hell-bent going to the basket or jacking it up or whatever. I really liked the energy with her, and I just think she could improve. I think she's capable of maybe taking another step up. And so then we're talking about three players right there with Key, Horston, and Burrell, who I think will be better. And you put them with Renia Davis, as you said, who's already established, one of the best players in the league. And then you bring in this complimentary cast, and we don't know exactly what they can give Tennessee, but I think it will. You know, you'll have a more well-rounded team and a team that the coaches are more comfortable with.
And someone we haven't mentioned would be the freshman addition from Jonesboro, Arkansas. Destiny Salary is an ESPN Top 100 recruit, the highest-ranked freshman recruit in this signing class from Kelly Harper. So you add her into the mix as well. And yeah, if you can get something out of her, get something out of these graduate transfers and that development we talked about, then I think Tennessee's well on its way in year two. In closing, John, what was the most encouraging thing you saw from Kelly Harper, from a Kelly Harper coach team in her first season as coach?
I think there was a calmness about her in games. You know, I think fans like to see fire from coaches. I'm not saying she had no fire, but I think with a young team in particular, in the heat of battle, they don't need somebody screaming at them, and not even screaming at them, but they need a coach who is going to convey to them, hey, things are going to be okay. It's no big deal. Here's what we need to do. I thought she had a calming influence, and I thought she was I based it somewhat on the way she handled press conferences. She struck me as a very good communicator, and I think that you can translate that to a team. If a coach can communicate with the media, chances are they also can communicate with their team. And so that was kind of a plus to me to see that. I just thought difficult situation. These weren't her players, but I thought she handled it pretty well. So that to me should give fans some confidence. And I think I'm comparing her somewhat to Holly. And that was one of Holly Warlick's weaknesses. I thought that she wasn't a good communicator. I know she wasn't with the media, and that probably might have come up in games when she's communicating with her team. I thought Kelly did that.
Yeah, and one other thing I would add to that is that impressed me was just the teams they were supposed to beat, they never overlooked them. They never, you know, laid a clunker against any of those winnable games. I thought that was so important to see in year one that, you know, I think that's a good starting point for any coach is win the games you're supposed to win, and then you start moving up the pack after that. And I thought that was encouraging to see in year one.
That's a good point, Blake, because I also think as a coach, you need to be very aware of what your situation is. And I think one, as a first-year coach in a transitional season, sure, you'd like to upset the top, a top four team, but it's just as important to do what you said. You don't want any disasters, because those disasters will come up again and again. Anytime things don't work, don't go well, you can somebody can go back and say, "Well, I knew there was there would be a problem when Tennessee couldn't beat Chattanooga in its first season with Kelly." So I think she was aware of what she had to do last season.
John, where can fans go to read your thoughts on your blog? Still working on that one?
Let me think about that. I guess that would be nowhere, boy.
Okay. But they can read your thoughts in your book, Carry On Like You Live.
Oh, by the way, since you bring it up, Still Carrying On will be published in another 2 weeks.
Look forward to it, John.
I'm on the cover.
All right. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.